بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والجنة للموحدين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. والصلاة والسلام الأكملان الأتمان على الركن الأعظم، أفضل من تقدم ومن تأخر، وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميامين. يا رب اللهم ارحم ضعفاءنا، ويسر أمورنا، واختم بالباقيات الصالحات أعمالنا. ربي عجز الطبيب فداونا، وفسد الزمان فنجنا، وضعفت حيلتنا فقونا. إلهي حملت نوحا على ذات ألواح ودسر، يا ذا العزة والجبروت، ورددت ليعقوب بصره بعدما ابيضت عيناه، يا ذا الملك والملكوت، وجمعت بينه وبين ابنه يوسف قبل أن يموت، ونجيت موسى في التابوت، وحملت يونس في بطن الحوت، ونجيت الحبيب محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بخيوط العنكبوت. سبحانك سبحانك أنت الحي الذي لا يموت. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and sisters, every human, by our very nature, we are passionate and desirous that every dream and wish of ours can be fulfilled and it can see fruition and culmination. We have a dream, we have a hope, we have a plan, we have a thought, and we hope, we wish, we plan, we aspire. But the reality on the ground is otherwise. يريد المرء أن يعطى مناه ويأبى الله إلا ما أراد. يقول المرء ما لي وفائدتي وتقوى الله أفضل ما استفاد. The poet says, every man wishes this can happen. I can secure a job, my daughter can get married, I can move into a new home, I can upgrade the corporate ladder, I can do so many things. ويأبى الله إلا ما أراد. But Allah has decided that only what He intends would ultimately happen. مَا شِئْتَ كَانَ وَإِنْ لَمْ أَشَأْ وَمَا شِئْتُ إِنْ لَمْ تَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ خَلَقْتَ الْعِبَادَ لِمَا قَدْ عَلِمْتَ فَفِي الْعِلْمِ يَجْرِي الْفَتَى وَالْمُسِنْ فَمِنْهُمْ قَبِيحٌ وَمِنْهُمْ حَسَنٌ ذَا مَنَنْتَ وَهَذَا خَذَلْتَ وَذَا أَعَنْتَ وَهَذَا لَمْ تُعِنْ. The Arabic poet says, Oh my Lord, whatever you decree will happen even if I don't will it. And whatever you don't decree will not occur even if I wish it. You have created the creation, and precisely by your divine knowledge you regulate the matters that happen in the earth. However, Allah makes mention in the Quran one explanation why Allah does not fulfill every desire of ours in the world. وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah says, if I were to give, wallow, if, basata, I were to expand, open up, unleash my treasures, and give the servants as they request. Somebody asking for health, I just give him health. He wants wealth, I just give him wealth. He wants power, I just give him power. He wants empire, I just give him an empire. Whatever. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. There is nothing but that I hold the treasures of it. And إِنَّ هَذَا لَرِزْقُنَا مَا لَهُ مِن نَفَادٍ. My treasures are inexhaustible, so they are never depleted. But Allah says, if I were to give every human whatever he or she wishes, لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They will transgress, they will revolt, they will rebel, and they will disobey on the earth. So to avoid that disobedience, out of my complete knowledge, I give them in measure and proportion. The scholars of tafsir under this ayah have raised one point of discussion. How is it that in this verse Allah says that if He were to grant every human his desire, the outcome of that would have been chaos, mayhem, anarchy and turbulence on earth, but Jannah promises to be the pinnacle of bliss, the height of ecstasy, the height of happiness, and every man and every soul and every human would be given what they request and desire and beyond. Whereas in Jannah there will be no corruption, there will be no mayhem, there will be no chaos. So there is an apparent dichotomy, there is an apparent inconsistency. Allah says, if I were to give it to you, there would be chaos on the earth. But then Jannah promises to be the place where each man would be given whatever he wants and there'll be no chaos in Jannah. And what is the answer to this? What is the explanation? And subhanAllah, the scholars of tafsir, jazahumullahu anna khairul jaza, they answer it so amazingly and aptly and succinctly. They say, the cause of the chaos is not the abundance of provision, but the cause of the chaos is the jealousy in man. The jealousy in us. So in Jannah we will be given everything, but وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. Prior to entering into Jannah, Allah says, I will flush out all form of malice, pride, antagonism, discord, and bickering for each other. So a person will go into Jannah, may Allah make us amongst them, and he would see his brother on a higher level, he will envy him, but he won't be jealous of him. He will not connive against him. He will not plot against him. He will not have any nasty agenda against him. And that's the focus of my talk. What better way to welcome the month of Ramadan than to flush out all the negativity, all the negative energy in our heart and create a forgiving approach. They say in English, forgive the next man. He might not deserve your pardon, but you deserve the peace. He might not deserve the pardon, but you surely deserve the peace. Now let's reflect over a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he shows and he sketches before us in a very holistic way the bond that two Muslims ought to have, regardless of country, ethnicity, location, continent, whatever it is. So remember, if Allah were to give us everything, that is not going to cause the problem. It's the jealousy within us. That is the problem. So in Jannah we will enjoy, but there will be no jealousy, there will be no malice. And I often say that when jealousy has been taken out of the equation, then even strangers become brothers. And when jealousy grips our heart and permeates our heart, then sadly even brothers become strangers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, and analyze this and see how amazing this is. He said, Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. And this is one of the miracles. And again, these are the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, a believer is a mirror to his brother. Now we look at the mirror, we comb our hair, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of us all? And we can say a thousand things. But look at the teachings of Islam. Islam gives us rich examples from the most simplest of things. Allah gives an example in the Quran of a fly. And Allah speaks of a mosquito. And some people made a remark, such a great magnanimous Allah, and He gives such trivial examples. What's the correlation? What's the tie between the two? And also Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah is not shy, Allah is not ashamed to give forth the parable of a mosquito or something more insignificant. Those who have faith, they marvel at it and they say, my Lord, you've given me a rich example from a mosquito. While those who are deprived and bereft of value and faith, they say, what's so amazing about this? What's so great about this here? Allah says, the example is one. Some hearts are guided and other hearts are deviated. May Allah make us amongst those whose hearts are guided. And may Allah protect us from those who are deviated. So listen to this here. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. A believer is a mirror to a believer. Now the scholars of hadith, jazahumullahu anna khayral jaza, they unpack, right? They elucidate, they expound. Innal mu'min yuri akhahu 'uyubahu allati la yumkinuhu an yaraha min nafsihi kama anna kathiran min a'dha'il jasadi wa 'uyubal badani la yumkinu ru'yatuha illa bil mir'at. فَيُعَلِّمُكَ أَخُوكَ الْمُؤْمِنُ إِذَا جَهِلْتَ وَيُذَكِّرُكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ وَيُصَوِّبُكَ إِذَا أَخْطَأْتَ وَيُنَبِّهُكَ إِذَا غَفَلْتَ. The first analogy. There are many organs of the body we cannot spot unless we have the medium of a mirror. if I want to see a scar on my face, if I want to see my nape, if I want to go and extract my tooth, I want to spot certain organs of my body, I cannot possibly do this unless I don't have a mirror. When I look at the mirror, I go for a haircut, one mirror in front, one at the back. Oh, okay, right, it looks good, looks cool, all in order. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are a mirror to your brother. Just as I cannot see a lot of my own mistakes unless I have a mirror, likewise a brother to his brother is a mirror, that by virtue of this mutual relationship, we, يُعَلِّمُكَ أَخُوكَ الْمُؤْمِنُ إِذَا جَهِلْتَ. When you display ignorance, your brother then educates you. وَيُذَكِّرُكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. When you become heedless, he politely cajoles you and reminds you. وَيُصَوِّبُكَ إِذَا غَفَلْتَ. When you become oblivious, he nudges you from the back and says, brother, look here, look here. Excuse the pun and excuse the phrase. When a person goes to the washroom and he relieves himself and he defecates, he's never offended by the stench of his own feces. You never heard of a man who's in the bathroom and he had to run out. Why? You know what? I was offended by the stench of my own feces. But let the next gentleman release flatulence and, we need some cross ventilation, your brothers. You know, you have, like I say, you have some people are loud and proud and others are silent but violent. Right? You know what I'm saying. Some brothers are loud and proud and others are silent but violent. You are never offended by the stench of your own feces. You could defecate for half an hour. But that's human nature. When I do something wrong, it's never offensive. But let the next man release wind and it's offensive and it's ugly and it's inappropriate. So we learned the first thing from the analogy of a mirror. From today onwards, never give a mirror a casual glance. Look at it with the deeper eye. The first thing. The second thing, the scholars deduce from the analogy of a mirror. إِنَّ الْمِرْآةَ صَادِقَةٌ فِيمَا تُعَكِّسُهُ مِنْ هَيْئَتِكَ هَكَذَا أَخُوكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ يُرِيكَ حَسَنَاتِكَ وَيَشْكُرُكَ عَلَيْهَا وَيُرِيكَ سَيِّئَاتِكَ وَيُنَبِّهُكَ عَلَيْهَا. A mirror is honest. A mirror is candid. A mirror says it as it is. If you have a beautiful features, striking appearance, the mirror is going to reveal that beautiful features. And maybe if you're bald, and no offense, I'm just giving an example because today people can be sensitive. So I'm not saying that's a demerit or you know what I mean, just qualifying myself. So if you have a beautiful appearance, you have light eyes, you have lovely features, you have impressive physique, you have biceps, you have your six pack, you're looking cool, you're looking good, you're looking well toned, you're looking well muscled up. The mirror is going to reflect the beauty, but at the same time, it's going to divulge the fact that there's baldness on the head, there's pigmentation on the cheeks, there's a scar on the forelock. The mirror is not going to compromise one because of the other. Likewise, a believer to his believer is, يُرِيكَ حَسَنَاتِكَ وَيَشْكُرُكَ عَلَيْهَا. When you display good, he's going to salute you. He's going to come, my brother, you're amazing. My brother, you're brilliant. You're phenomenal. Really, you're just too good. But coupled with that, in a modest way, he's going to also tell you that, listen, as much as you've excelled here, as much as you've achieved here, I'm afraid you have fallen short here. That's the second spirit. May Allah bless us with those qualities. Say Ameen, brothers. The third thing, يُرِيهِ كَمَا هِيَ مِن دُونِ تَهْوِيلٍ أَوْ تَخْفِيفٍ. A mirror never exaggerates or magnifies. If there is a scar on one cheek, the mirror is not going to reflect it on the other cheek. A mirror will narrow it to the location, to the size. That's the analogy. And that's the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That a brother to his brother will address the issues, but he will localize it to its contacts. He will not take it beyond. Now our nature is such that when we praise people, we elevate them. And when we have an issue with them or a contentious issue or bone to pick with them, we drop them below the earth. We lack the level of balance and moderation. Whereas a mirror is accurate and candid. It doesn't exaggerate nor magnify. The fourth thing of a mirror. إِنَّ الْمِرْآةَ صَامِتَةٌ تُرِيكَ مَا فِي بَدَنِكَ بِصَمْتٍ هَكَذَا أَخُوكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ يُعَلِّمُكَ وَلَا يَفْضَحُكَ. A mirror is silent. It doesn't scream. It doesn't shout. It doesn't yell. You stand in front and then you realize, okay, my hair needs to be, I need to attire, okay, I need to do this. Subhanallah. That's the spirit of a believer. When he advises someone, he's gentle, he's polite, he's discreet, he's diplomatic. He has a mannerism in which he does it. Imam Shafi said, تغمدني بنصحك في انفرادي وجنبني النصيحة في الجماعة فإن النصح بين الناس نوع من التوبيخ لا أرضى استماعه. Listen, brother, if you find a fault with me, take me one side and talk to me gently. I will listen to you from the morning to the night. But don't advise me in public because I'm not convinced on the veracity of your motive. I don't know, do you want to rectify me or chastise me? I don't know if you want to rehabilitate me or expose me. In English, they say, criticism must be gentle like the rain, that it can nourish the roots, and not a heavy downpour that it destroys the roots. Criticism must be like gentle rain. We need rain for growth to enhance it. But that very same rain, if it comes, it's raining buckets. It's coming in volumes. I'm afraid it destroys the crops. So criticism is essential, but it's got to be objective. It's got to be euphemistic. It's got to be diplomatic. So we see a mirror. إِنَّ الْمِرْآةَ صَامِطَ. It doesn't speak. تُرِيكَ مَا فِي بَدَنِكَ بِسَمْتِينَ. Silent and discreet. And it says everything. Your clothes has been soiled here. There is some mark here. There is a blemish on your upper garment. This has been left, you know, hasn't been ironed well. Whatever it is, the mirror would reveal it with silence. We move on. إِذَا ابْتَعَدْتَ عَنِ الْمِرْآةِ زَالَتْ صُورَتُكَ هَكَذَا أَخُوكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِذَا ابْتَعَنْهُ كَتَمَسِرَّكَ. Allahu Akbar. When you walk away from a mirror, the mirror becomes silent about your identity to the next person. You never heard the mirror say, oh, good you came, and the guy before, oh, that guy was big, man. This guy was obese, man. This guy was obese. Thanks for coming. It's so nice to have you here. Oh, anyway, leave it. But that guy was crazy. Subhanallah. The mirror doesn't whisper anything. The mirror doesn't whisper anything. That's the spirit of a believer. When you walk away, katamasirrak. He conceals whatever you have confided with him. مَن نَقَلَ إِلَيْكَ نَقَلَ عَنْكَ. The Arabic proverb is, whoever carries the tales of others to you, don't be so foolish and naive, he's taking your tales to others. Don't think, oh, you know what, he fills my ears, he updates me, keeps me abreast. No, he drops in your ears and then he takes from you and passes on. Imam Shafi complains in one poem that that's no friend who you have a relationship with and then things go ugly. I mean, I've sat in hundreds of cases, in marriage cases, where tragically I had to see marriages being dissolved, and many, with the grace of Allah, we've reconciled. But Imam Shafi says that's a sad reality of a relationship and a union, that at the time where you have to dissolve, for whatever reasons, وَيُنْكِرُ عَيْشًا قَدْ تَقَادَمَ عَهْدُهُ وَيُظْهِرُ سِرًّا كَانَ بِالْأَمْسِ قَدْ خَفَى سَلَامٌ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهَا صَدِيقٌ صَدُوقٌ صَادِقُ الْوَعْدِ مُنْصِفًا. That you have a healthy relation for 10 years, for 15 years, and then tragically it has to be dissolved. And at the point of dissolving, you're like, no, there were no good, and we only had bad moments, and it was rocky from day one, and it was turbulent from the inception. And you kind of water every good that had happened. No, that's not a spirit of a believer. When you address him, he takes it in. And when you move away, katamasirrak, that's it. He conceals it. May Allah bless us with these qualities. And then, إِنَّ الْمِرْآةَ مِنْ أَهَمِّ أَسْبَابِ الزِّينَةِ بَلْ لَا يَكَادُ يُتِمُّ التَّزِينُ إِلَّا بِهَا. A mirror is one of the most critical objects to conclude, complement, and culminate your beauty. The bride and the groom, before they actually meet, they both leave with a mirror. Probably nowadays they have a mirror in their pocket as well. It's the last bit. You cannot adorn and beautify yourself until you don't have a mirror. In the same way, a believer cannot be beautified and adorned and decorated unless he doesn't have a believer to help him and assist him. The ulama say there are four things through which you can reform yourself. One is musahabat, one is mu'akhad, one is muhasaba, and one is wa'ad bil ghair. Musahaba is where you adopt the company of the pious, and by virtue of proximity to those individuals, it transmits nobility. You look at them, you sit with them, you assimilate with them. Muhammad ibn Wasi' was a sage of the age. Someone said, كنت إذا نشدت في كنت إذا وهنت في العبادة وكسلت في العبادة نظرت إلى محمد فتنشدت في العبادة أسابيع. That whenever I would feel a spiritual, you know, lameness or lethargy or sluggishness, then there was this man, I would sit up to him and come close to him, and then he would give off this spiritual transmission which would then stimulate me for weeks on end. So that is one, musahaba. Then the second is mu'akhat. If you study the lives of the pious, they used to pay up. Two people pay up. Mu'akhat, they make brotherhood. Listen, brother, I'm going to be a brother to you, you're going to be a brother to me. So we're going to say it as it is, and you're not going to take offense, I'm not going to take offense. So I'm going to tell you, listen, you know what? Yesterday, the way you spoke to that young boy, no, you were rude, you were raw, you were abrupt, you were uncultured. And whatever you're going to see in me, you're going to tell me. So I'm not going to get offended, you're not going to get offended, but that's the only way we're going to go forward. Because unfortunately, our inner souls have died a death. So when we do wrong, we don't get distress signals. Umar ibn Khattab was walking and he nudged a person. And he said, move off, back off. And then he walked by. And then Umar said, no man. Umar, I think you were abusing your authority. You shouldn't have done that. Now these were people. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا جَعَلَ لَهُ وَاعِظًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ يَأْمُرُهُ وَيَنْهَى. These people were, you know what, their souls were strong and sensitive. So whenever they did anything wrong, it would make them restless and uneasy. And then time moved on and Umar located the man and he said, brother, aren't you so and so? He said, yes. I heard you're going for Hajj. Correct. Come with me home. فَأَخْرَجَ كِيسًا. He took out a bag. فِيهِ سِتُّ مِئَةِ dirham, in which there were 600 dirhams. He said, you can take this. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِهَا فِي حَجِّكْ. Use it in your Hajj. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ بِالْخَفَقَةِ الَّتِي خَفَقْتُكَ عَامَ أَوَّلْ. And I just want to tell you, I gave you this because if you recall last year, I nudged you and I hit you from the back. And he's like, Umar, I don't even recall. And Umar says, I haven't slept a peaceful night for 1 year. I haven't slept a peaceful night for 1 year. It's been bothering me. So we pay up. We pay up to better ourselves. There is a way in which we do it. And the last thing, time is so up here and running out. And the last thing the ulama say in this regard, إِنَّ الْمِرْآةَ لَا تَطَّلِعُ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّاهِرِ فَلَا سَبِيلَ لَهَا إِلَى الْبَاطِنِ هَكَذَا الْمُؤْمِنُ يُعَامِلُ أَخَاهُ بِظَاهِرِهِ وَلَا يَطْعَنُ فِي بَاطِنِهِ. Subhanallah. A mirror can only reflect the external. A mirror cannot microscopically look into your internal. Likewise, a believer will deal with his brother on the external, and he will not probe or pry into his internal intentions. The Prophet ﷺ said, you're a mirror. He didn't say you're an x-ray. He didn't say you're an x-ray to your brother. Where you opening up? No, this guy, you know what, even when he greets, I'm telling you there's something sinister here. I smell a dead rat. There's something obnoxious here. There's something nasty. This guy's got an agenda. He's got something up his sleeve. No. The Prophet ﷺ said, be a mirror. Don't be an x-ray. Don't be judgmental. May Allah make us amongst those people. Let me share with you this one incident and then we're going to bring it to a close here. So Abu Hazim and Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik was the ruler of the time. Abu Hazim was a pious person. He comes to meet him. And then Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik asked Abu Hazim, عندك مال? Do you have any assets? He said, لي مالان. I have two assets. Okay, what are your assets? الرضا بما قسم الله والإياس عما في أيدي الناس. I rely on what Allah has given and I don't have passion for the assets of people. He said, okay, ارفع إلي حاجتك. Make a request and I will fulfill it. So he said, هيهات رفعتها إلى الله. I've presented my request to Allah. فما أعطاني شكرت وما منعني صبرت. What Allah gave me, I'm happy with, and what Allah has declined, I've exercised patience. وكما منع غيري رزقي كذلك منعت رزق غيري. Nobody else will eat my food, I wouldn't eat anybody else's food. So then he said to him, okay, ما المخرج مما نحن فيه. You're a man of God, you're a man of piety. How do I navigate? What's the way out of my life and my crisis? He said, very easy, simple. باليسير من الأمر. Okay, so give me the formula. He said, whoever you've offended, go up to the man and apologize to him. And whoever's wealth you've usurped, go and return it. So Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik said, but who has the guts to do that? Who has the courage to do this? So he gave a profound answer. He said, الَّذِي يَرْجُ الْجَنَّةَ وَيَخَافُ النَّارِ. The one who truly fears hell and really wants paradise, he'll make no bones about it. For him, it's easy to stand up
eat the humble pie, go up to the brother and apologize and clean his heart out, because he wants to meet his Allah with a clean heart. A man wants to get married to a girl, he'll cross continents. A person wants a job, he'll travel from one place to another. A person wants to go for what and what he'll do. If you really want paradise, this is the day, and this is the challenge, and this is the moment. Remember, the devil has no problems with our good intentions as long as it's for tomorrow. The day you say, I'll change afterwards, the devil. But when you say now, that's the time it's going to be an issue. So he says, okay, pray for me, pray for me. So Sulaiman ibn Abu Hazim said, وَمَا يَنْفَعُكَ دُعَائِي وَيَدْعُو عَلَيْكَ مَظْلُومٌ مِّنْ وَرَاءِ الْبَابِ فَأَيُّ الدُّعَاءَ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُجَابِ. He said, I don't have an issue to pray for you. I'll pray for you now, my brother. But the man you've hurt, you've oppressed, you've accused, you've insulted, that man is cursing you behind the door. My prayer in your favor, and the victim of your oppression is cursing you, my prayer cannot override his curse. فَبَكَى سُلَيْمَانُ وَاشْتَدَّ بُكَاؤُهُ. He cried and there was no end to his cry. I'm saying to you, brothers, there are two types of people in the world. They say one is a thermostat and one is a thermometer. A thermometer will just give you the reading. It's hot or cold. But a thermostat will regulate the temperature. It's time we stop being thermometers and only giving the reading, and we become active and start regulating the environment. I ask each one of you, brothers and sisters, this is a golden time to start Ramadan by flushing out that malice. The Prophet ﷺ held the hand of Anas. He said, إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تُصْبِحْ وَتُمْسِي وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌ لِأَحْدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَفْعَلْ. Anas, if you can monitor your heart morning and evening and see in your heart you don't hate, you don't have rancor, you don't have antagonism for anyone, you've revived one of my great practices. If you've revived it, you love me. If you love me, we walk together in paradise. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعتق رقابنا ورقاب آبائنا وأمهاتنا من النيران. اللهم بارك لنا في شعبان وبلغنا رمضان. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اجعل أولادنا أبرارا أتقياء. اللهم اجعل أولادنا أبرارا أتقياء وأنبتهم في الإسلام نباتا حسنا. اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا وأصلح واحفظ أئمتنا وولاة أمورنا. اللهم ما قصر عنه رأينا ولم تبلغه مسألتنا من خيري الدنيا والآخرة فاجعل لنا منه أوفر الحظ والنصيب. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العلي العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأعظم وأكبر. والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.